you are here, and I will start with one question. Which one of you are studying technology and business? All right. I do have a background in both. Something else? Design? No? I have a background in both, so a degree in engineering and a business. I would like to have in design as well. So it's very interesting to see you here in the University of Jyväskylä. And I've been kind of a nomad a little bit on my own studies. I studied in Berlin, in Tallinn, and in Dublin, and in Finland as well. So that's the basic background a little bit for customer experience. And why that is really good background, because the customer experience is kind of a quite wide topic. It's not about the details, but it's about how the companies work and how they understand the customers. Anyway, it's great to be here. And the ones who are actually checking the video, you need to get some papers. We are doing digital today, but we are going to do a bit of work together, roughly 15 minutes of theory, a bit of practice after that. So if you are on video or if you're at home, please take some A3 or A4 sheets with you. Where am I coming from? I'm coming from the company called CGI. I'm not going to bother you too much about the details, but just a few lines, what kind of company it is. In a nutshell, it's a global company, roughly 70,000 employees, and it has been established roughly 40 years ago in Canada. And in Canada, one of the founders was actually a student like you are today, and he went for his first job. And he was there alone with the customer for a few months, and he thought that there must be something better. There must be a better place to work, a better place where you can actually do together stuff with your colleagues. And that's how the CGI got established. And then he hired the first person, and lately he has hired 69,000 more. Anyway, that's the CGI, global company. We are the biggest IT employer in Finland today. And I'm coming from the CGI Next, which is actually a different name for emerging technology practices. So basically, what we do stuff which is new. So we are not focused on the legacy, but we do new things like digital services, robotics, cybersecurity, and stuff. So these are the areas, basically, cybersecurity, service design. We are looking for end customers. We are looking for employees. We are looking for data. That's in a nutshell. And I just want to mention one example is cybersecurity. For instance, my Spotify account was hacked in the last weekend. So cybersecurity is a really important part in digital world. So this is just a photo shot from the cybersecurity center of CGI. Then a little bit about the digitalization in different industries. So I'm going to start looking for what is the pace, what is the speed of digital transformation in different areas. So it goes in the way that the businesses which are focusing global competition, like media, they have faced the digitalization first. So basically, media has basically, they are kind of over post-digital age already. And then the businesses which are more local, like construction, they are talking about digitalization, but the real things are happening really slowly at the moment. So when it goes to digital customer experience, it's quite a wide topic, and very often the president of the company actually gets the target that you must digitalize your company. And there might be one line that you must improve your customer experience. So basically, it's a company-wide topic. And how it normally goes that in the businesses where they have business urgency, the business are going to die if you don't digitalize it. Like the Sanoma company, they basically have gone to half the size it used to be. So they have went through already the transformation. But the companies like YIT, they really don't face the similar challenges at the moment. But the companies like Posti, which everybody knows, they are at the moment in the middle of the transformation. So they're transforming a lot. So that's why they are looking for this kind of new services like helping people on their own homes and stuff. So this is the big picture for digitalization and the customer experience. So it really depends on the maturity of the company in digitalization, whether it is really important or not. All right. So now we have talked a little bit about what is customer experience. And the topics for today. The topics for today are, we are going to spend most of the time here to understand what is really customer experience. What it means, how it is built, a couple of examples. Then we are talking a little bit about what the customer experience means to companies. And then we are talking a little bit about the methodology of play to win, play not to lose. And then finally we have examples. What is customer experience? How customers see the digital world at the moment? Very often they actually start by developing customer experience. In a nutshell, it means that you are getting more customers where you sell the same stuff like you did before, or you sell new stuff to customers what you already have. So how many customers, what do you sell, and how much? So these are the key elements of the customer experience. It's always about selling more, or not selling less. It's really not about the creating a new business models. Of course, the customer experience is involved there, but very, very often companies start from developing customer experience. If you take an example from Kesko, they have many vendors in different areas of the country. I don't know how many case stores we have in Jyväskylä, but I think quite a many. But at the moment, they have thought the customer experience in the way that if you want to find a recipe to make food, there is only one recipe for Finland. And in this way, they think customer-centrically. So they think you, as a one customer, who should get one recipe, not the recipe from different dealers from different cities, but one recipe. So that's the basic idea of customer experience. Then another thing is we are creating new services. The example is quite old, but the Kone is quite a company, the ones which makes lifts. So earlier on, they basically make lifts, and that's it. And then they started to make new services, so they created the service business for their own lifts. And then they continued to do business to do services for their competitors' lifts. So in a nutshell, they created a new service. Then, so this is the area where the companies go next when they have started from customer experience. Then finally, they try to invent something totally new. And one example, what we've been doing is a service called Chapla. It's for deaf people. So basically, it's mandatory for each government to arrange interpreter service for deaf people. So if I'm a deaf and I want to buy a car, what happens is that I arrange a meeting with the car seller for you, for instance, and then we invite the interpreter to travel with me and with you to a one place. So it might take like 2 hours to travel. And then we created a digital service with a person called SignMark, where you can do this digitally. So in a nutshell, it means that if I want to buy a car from you, you are deaf, I can't hear what you say. So what I do, basically, I make a video call to our interpreter, and she makes a call to you, and then we talk. We do the signing language, and you do the talking. So This is the way how we can make a totally new business, which is much, much more effective than the way how we worked before. But that's hard. That's really, really difficult. It's really difficult to make new business. So when the companies are in that stage, this third stage, they must be willing to lose 1 million euros easily. And they don't know if they are ever going to get it back. And other example for the same area is OP Bank. And I think everybody have heard about how OP is doing this new service like Drive Now. They are quite famous for that. It's great for the brand. But in a real life, 99.5% out of their business, it's really coming from the traditional banking and insurance and stuff. But it's almost half of those things are creating brands and really not knowing whether those businesses are really going to fly or not. But they are willing to take the risk, and that's really, really good for them. Because in the same time, when they are taking the risks for these new things, it helps their old business to run. All right, so now we've been talking quite high level about digitalization, about customer experience, and then I would like to talk more about how it's really created, what is really based on. And when we are talking about customer experience, people like that they are treated individually. So we are talking really a lot about personas. There is roughly 15 different personas, the basic idea of marketing. But this is the rough idea for how it really looks like when we are creating personas. So this is Janne. He's an engineer. The wife, Taru, who is an artist. Three kids. And sorry for this being in Finnish. I didn't have a time to transfer it. He has got the goals. He has got the fears. And I think that his fears are quite different compared to yours, for instance. And the problems, yes, they are very different to your problems as well. And what are the expectations? Again, very, very different. And if we are doing marketing for a wrong persona, using the wrong terms, they are not going to buy. That's for sure. And what we then really do when we have those like 15 personas, so we do basically a customer journey. Sorry again for this being in Finnish. So what the customer journey really means, and this is the key of the customer experience. So customer journey is something what kind of already exists, or then you can create it. So we can approach the customer journey in two ways. They're basically trying to think that what we are willing to provide, so create a journey, or trying to understand that what is your journey. But anyway, we need to create it. But this is really, really typical. And this guy is going to buy a trampoline. I don't think too many of you are going to buy a trampoline. So this is the one idea of the personas. So you need to understand what they are going to buy. So very often it goes in the way that they are looking for it, what kind of trampolines might be good, dreaming of when he can actually drink beer in the back garden and kids are jumping there. They are going to make a list of different options. They are going to discuss with the neighbor that whether this is a good trampoline or bad trampoline. Do you need some fences there? Then they are going to make a decision about buying. I'm going to buy a trampoline. Then they are going to buy it. They are going to get it. And then they are going to use it. And this is very, very typical basic customer journey. And but if you're looking at it, because the final step there was taking it into use, it's not really the final step. I mean, after a year, there can be a problem. It's broken. How to fix it? And this is really crucial part again. I mean, how to fix it? It's really great opportunity to sell more. Either a new trampoline, a different trampoline, or something else when you are actually getting the contact with the this persona that you can sell more. Think about insurance company. You don't really want to contact insurance company if you don't have to. So if you crash your car, you are in trouble. You are in a bad mood. But in fact, the situation when you are having problems is almost the only possibility for the insurance company to be in contact with you. So this contact at this time has to be used well. So it might be that if you crashed your car, they might sell you like a new car. They might sell you like a rental car, or some another service what you are going to need when you don't have the car. They might sell you like a taxi service because you need to go somewhere and stuff like that. So that's really easy place to sell more. All right. We are going to practice a little bit after a while about this customer journey. But now I'm going to tell one example how this kind of journeys can be built. So, again, an example from the area which almost everybody knows, books. So, academic bookstore, we played around with them in book fair last autumn. And what we tried is that when we talk about the customer experience, and I'm coming from a digital point of view, they have the stores, physical stores, and we would like to combine the digital world and the physical world. And one of the biggest places in e-commerce and actually in the shops as well for people not to buy is that they are playing around with stuff. There might be a bit of a queue on a cashier, and they are just going to leave the book there and not buying it. And this is, again, in the web shops. There are so many items in the world in the web shops which are actually put in a shopping basket, but they are never bought. So this is a really good place on trying to sell more. So what we did with Akatemia, and we tried the system that we had a small mobile application which has got the image recognition. So you can just play around with the book. You can check it with your cell phone on taking one picture, and then you get a bit of more information. And what we did there, we were there for 5 days, and we tried that with, I think, like 150 people, some old people, some young people. And what we tried to identify is that whether this is something what people really want to use, or how we should actually change it that people would buy something. So there were a few quite interesting details, because, of course, when you think about purchasing, we would like to do it in a way that when they are looking at the physical store, physical book, that they are going to buy it in online after a while. And so people want to buy, they want to collect list of the books, what they might like to read themselves. They would like to collect a list of the books what they would like to buy for somebody else for a Christmas present. They would like to collect a list of the books where they want to show off, that they are so clever and perfect individuals that, hey, whole world, see what I'm reading, I'm so clever. So this is one of the lists. And there's one list, secret list. So the list, what they are reading, but they really don't want to show for anybody else that I'm reading this stuff. So that kind of things we actually identified on this thing. And how it was really done. So basically, first of all, there must be an idea. So there was an idea. And we asked with the customer if they would like to try that idea with us. So we needed to create the application. It uses basically Google image recognition. We need to cooperate with the customer. So this is a proof of concept. Akatemia has roughly 120 books which they are promoting in the book fair. And what happened there? Well, we were there. I was wearing an academia T-shirt, contacting people, interviewing them, playing around with the application. And then we had quite a kind of many. We actually these are students who got to work with GGI. They did the testing as well. And this is how it looks like. So basically, you take a picture of the book, and then you get more information. And then again, I think the material will be shared later on. This is unfortunate in Finnish, but there is a blog about how these kind of things are done. But that's how the digital customer experience is developed, in a nutshell. And I would like to show a video. Unfortunately, this is in Finnish, so sorry for non-Finnish speakers for 2 minutes. But this is Ville Koisten, who is one of our designers, explaining again in Akateeminen bookstore Facebook site that how this kind of stuff was done. And of course, if you think about us as a TGI, this is bloody great marketing. I mean, we are there with the customers. We are there on the, so the customer is marketing our people to quite a big audience. So this is great marketing stuff. So I'm not hiding it there. So customer experience.
Jos on muualla hypistelee kirjaa, niin voi tarvita vähän tukea siihen päätökseen, että onko tämä nyt just sopiva kirja mulle tai sille, jolle tämä on tulossa lahjaksi. Ja tietysti sä voit akateemisessa kysyä myyjältä tai voit hakea Googlesta, mutta Googlessa on se ongelma, että sun pitää näpytellä sinne niitä kirjan tietoja, mutta sitten tieto on myös aika hajallaan ympäri nettiä. Ja me pohdittiin sitä, kun akateemisella on olemassa digitaalisesti jo tosi paljon tietoa siitä kirjasta, joka kiinnostaa lukijoita ja kirjaostajia, että voitaisiko me jotenkin helposti yhdistää se fyysinen kirja, se digitaalinen tieto, niin että se olisi yhdessä paikassa.
No mitä kaikkea tietoa täältä löytyy?
No ihan perustietoja kirjasta, kuvausta siitä kirjasta ja se mikä niin kuin minua tietysti kiinnostaa on arviot siitä kirjasta. Että tässä on nyt tällä hetkellä meillä kokeilussa niin Goodreadsin arviot tuotu sinne mukaan ja se on kyllä kiinnostanut kovasti lukijoita.
Miten tämä sovellus toimii sitten?
Eli käyttäjä ottaa kuvan kirjan kannesta ja se hakee sitten automaattisesti tietoja eri puolilta, mitä sieltä löytyy. Kirjan perustietoja, jos on esimerkiksi kirjailijan haastattelu, voi tulla sinne, tai videoita ja myös muiden lukijoiden arvioita. Ja semmoinen hyvä lisäys, joka on tullut jo täällä käyttäjiltä, että olisi kiinnostavaa tietää tai saada linkit myös muihin arvioihin, esimerkiksi jos Hesarissa tai muussa lehdessä on ollut.
Miten te olette tätä sovellusta kehittäneet? Te olette nyt esimerkiksi täällä kysymässä ihmisiltä mielipiteitä siitä, että miltä se kuulostaa, mutta että miten tämä on niin kuin lähtenyt liikkeelle ja miten te olette niin kuin matkan varrella tätä kehittäneet?
No itse asiassa kun meille tuli tämä idea, me juteltiin akateemisen kanssa tästä ja he kiinnostui tästä heti ja sovittiin, että kokeillaan tätä yhdessä kirjamessuilla. Ja ideana on se, että me ollaan niin kuin tehty niin kuin tosi vähän, me ollaan käytetty vain muutama päivä tähän aikaa, mutta nyt sitten nopeasti kokeillaan ja haetaan käyttäjiltä palautetta siitä, että onko tämä kiinnostava, mikä se käyttökokemus on ja miten sitä pitäisi kehittää jatkossa vai unohdetaanko koko homma. Et me ollaan vielä tosi avoimia tämän kanssa.
Tim?
All right.
Yeah, that's the next one. All right. So, now we have been talking a lot about customer experience, and I would like to spend a short while with you, and you are going to get A4 sheets, everybody, and that you need to make that to 6 pieces, like this, and when you have done that, I'm going to talk a little bit more with you. So, Here are the papers, and if you are on video, please get the paper from there in your home and do the same. Thanks. Yeah, good. All right. Basically, when we create customer journeys, we always try to interview the end customers. Today, we don't have really time to interview the end customers. So you are going to be the customer today. And what I would like you to do, we are going to spend roughly 5 minutes. And please draw one idea for each of those slots, that which customer journey would you are going to do in a short while. So one customer journey, for example, might be that you are the customer of the university. You are the customer of the landlord, for instance, holiday, or whatever, or you are going to buy books, for instance, for your studies. So 5 minutes silent work. After that, we are going to work with small groups. Just write or draw. You can draw it as well. One idea for each of those spots, that which customer journey you would like to create after a while. So 6 ideas. Everybody needs 6 ideas. All right. The method with the paper is it's basically from the service design. It just helps you to kind of to get the ideas on the paper and maybe to limit the topic a little bit. But what I would like you to do now is that in pairs, so just the colleague next to you, and if you're sitting there, just go to find a pair with you. You might have now from a couple of ideas of the customer journey, and select one. So have a short discussion with your pair there, and decide which journey you are going to draw. It doesn't have to be perfect, but you need to move around a little bit. Find a pair, select one journey which you are going to draw next one. So the basically that now we have the ideas, and I would like you to think about the customer journey and how it relates. So in the next roughly 5 to 10 minutes, I would like you to draw one customer journey with your pair. Pystyykö tuolla näyttämään paperia tuolla ruudulla tuolla laitteella? Tuli vaan mieleen. Se olisi vähän kätsy. Joo. Ja se olisi ihan hauska, jos tässä on vaan joku, tämä näyttää semmoiselta.
Joo, eli sä haluat ton näyttää.
Joo, mä haluan näyttää sen jonkun esimerkin tuosta. Joo. Siis ei ollut. Saanko tästä vaihdettu jotenkin? Okei. Okay. Se olisi varmaan tässä. Se on varmaan toi.
Siitä varmaan.
Thompson. All right, 2 minutes to go. All right. Then I would like to show one example how it looks like. Some of the materials is in Finnish, but could you guys come with your paper and show what you got? Yeah, you're there. Can you show an example how it looks like, your journey? Yes? You don't have anything. All right. Somebody there who would like to show what kind of journey you created? You guys there? Please, yes? Yeah, would be nice. There's a document camera here, so. And then can you tell which journey you created?
We are booking a trip online.
All right.
I don't need the mic.
So our customer journey was booking a trip online. How do I show this? So first of all, it starts with dreaming. So we dream of warm weather, good food, and relaxation. And we are high up on the journey, and then we're going down because of the list of options. It's difficult to choose, a lot of options, too many booking sites, and it's difficult to compare the prices. Yeah. And then it goes up after we have discussed with our friends or family, so we have reassurance of our decision. We can share experiences and ideas are becoming more clear. And then we make the actual decision. So we have good expectations of the trip. And then there's the actual booking and buying. And then their journey comes a bit lower because there is money loss. And then we are getting the confirmation. And the booking is finally done. So our expectations are getting higher and higher. And then there's the actual trip. And it's on a high level if the trip is a good one, but it could be a lower one if the chip was bad.
All right, we have a new service designer. Thank you very much. All right, so basically I believe we have quite a good understanding what is really a customer journey now, and we are going to continue to a little bit a different angle from the same topic. Okay, so basically we talked now that what is a customer journey, how to create it. And then we talked about the different personas. And when we look to customer experience, we actually look to employees as well. And I thought it might be a little bit interesting to see that what kind of skills and what kind of talent we are looking for when we create a customer experience for our customers. So let's get back here. We are talking about developing customer experience, creating new services, and inventing new business models and marketing. So we need to talk differently to different groups. And when our customers are talking to their customers, or consumers very often, what people really would like to have, they would like to have services which are meaningful, they have a meaning for them, they make life easier. There's a quite new service in Finland where you can actually buy food from restaurants which is left over from lunch. So this is one example of this kind of services, which makes your life easier. You don't have to cook in the evenings. And then actually they think for you. So the think for you, it's important bit because it needs information. And that's why almost every digital service is collecting information from you, because they want to know that where you are moving, what are you thinking, what kind of persona you are, so they can personalize the selling for you guys. Then we talk the same things to our customers' business. And that they are talking about topics like customer experience, digital services, digital business and products. And this means that they might would like to have the digital service which they are selling to their customers, which are actually buying for that service. And a good example of this kind of service, they are pretty similar nowadays, but the reason you can't really find accommodation from the Alps in the winter from booking.com is basically 13%. Because the booking.com is taking 13% out of the rent just to sell the accommodation. And the similar thing is there is, for instance, there is a service for renting boats in Finland. Basically a new digital business. So I have a really old 30-year-old small sailing boat, and I can rent it using that service. But of course, that service takes a bit of the money from there. Another example, again, Tori.fi. It's free for you, but they basically are getting the money from the ads. And then there's this growth thing. Very often, it goes in the way that the companies do create the service, but are people there or not? It's really a big question. And really often, it goes in the way that service is created, but it's not really marketed properly. And the Tori, again, it's a really good example. Technically, it's actually not that great service, but they are doing the marketing really well. So those are the things which our customers' business is really interested in. So customers' IT, they have an IT department, they have technology people. So on those same topics in customer experience, they are talking about e-commerce, they are talking about CRM, Dynamics 365, mobile applications, API, Magento. For digital services, they are talking about software development, DevOps, cloud, service design, UX, API, headless CMS. So these kind of topics they are talking about. And then on the marketing part, they are talking about Marketo, Adobe, Click Dimensions, HubSpot, so marketing automation software. So different people, consumers, customers' business, and the customer's IT. But the funny thing is that actually the skills and the talent to develop all of that is pretty similar. So these are basically the skills what our people need. They are a combination of the technology skills, and they are a combination of business skills, and they are a combination of the design skills. So what's really, really important for you, your future, actually, is that you need to have kind of one of those skills if you want to work for a consulting company. And then you need to be interested on different people. I mean, if you are a business people, you need to be technology savvy. Even Helsinki Sanomat is writing about technology a lot nowadays. Everybody is talking about artificial intelligence. So the best thing what you can do is do your own profession well, but be really interested on your friend's profession. If you think about the designer who is really capable of visually, for instance, this slide, that's created by me. And that's very different slide compared to, for instance, to this one. Or compared to this one, especially this one. I just don't have the skills. I don't have the visual skills to create the perfect customer experience. I just don't. But this person who actually created this visually doesn't have the skills technologically or holistically to actually make this service to happen. So that's really important in customer experience that you must work well together with people having different skills. And what it really means that what is different? Different means that it's annoying. Cooperation, there has been a lot of surveys about the cooperation. It's very often in the teams which are really comfortable and it feels great to work together, they're actually not that productive. It's true. In the teams where you have the spirit that you can actually say what you really like, and then the person next to you is actually making so different opinions compared to yours, it annoys you, then it's good. Then the good things are happening. Because if you feel straight away that you think similarly compared to your colleague, well, what's the point there? Where's the value? Nowhere. So working together with different people with different skills, it's really, really, really important. Then, sorry for this being in Finnish as well. So we do personas for recruitment marketing as well. So they are quite different. We have Kalle Konsultani, who's basically consultant. The age, it's not really that meaningful in here. Actually, it's really interesting thing about the age. I do think it's more important to understand what people want than to compare to how old they are. It does affect a little bit, but it's more important if you are artist or if you are techie to understand what you really like. But anyway, this is an example of Kalle Konsultant, and basically who would like to, whose goal is to improve their own skills and to get the career progress. But you know what? When you go for a different persona called Technoteemu, he doesn't can't be bothered about his career. There's nothing. But what he really would like to have is that he would like to have really great skills on new technologies. He wants to be sure that he's doing new stuff, not the old stuff. But it has got nothing to do with the career development. So then our marketing actually has to be really different to these two persons. And then we have Pertti Perhelinen, which is a person who has got the family. For instance, I have a really good developer who wants to work 4 days a week. And we are just fine with it. I mean, of course, I would like to have that people are working 5 days a week, but he has got the situation where he wants to spend more time with his family, so he's working 4 days a week. So typical hope for the people who have a bit of a family. But when you go for your first job, I don't think it's really a big deal whether you are working full-time or not. Of course, even you are a student, you might like to work for 3 days a week or so, but these are the things where we need to be really, really, really flexible and really think it from the point of view that who is basically looking for the job. What kind of jobs then we basically are looking for at the moment? So these are really typical roles. And this is directly from the presentation to our employee from the last week. We have people for CRM, we have people for omnichannel consultants, we have developers for different roles. So these are typical roles for the consultancy company like us. One more thing. We talked a lot about journey, and we talked a lot about the personas. And then we talked about data and how to use it. And there is quite nice tool to play around. It's made by IBM. It basically matches that who is the celebrity like you are in today. And I tried this today, and my values are quite low, close to Annie Lennox. It's based on my Twitter profile. And this is just an example that using the data found from the internet, this kind of stuff can be made. So now I need one volunteer again who has got the Twitter account and who has got a bit of a courage. Who would like to try? Any volunteers? You have a Twitter account?
Sorry, I don't remember. Yeah, well, I have. It's called Respirator.
All right. All right. So your personality is close to, I don't know who this guy is.
I don't know.
But you are curious, yes. And then you are a bit reserved at going, but you are quite easygoing. Your needs are here.
Okay, that's scary.
Yes. And your values are here. So, but it's scary stuff, isn't it?
I like stimulation.
But Kate Perry is it's like you are, but this is the background for the why there has been so much talk about this Cambridge Analytica and about the elections. Because what they really did, they used these marketing methods to win the elections. And the Cambridge Analytica, if you know the Trump stuff, I believe, you've been reading the newspapers. I saw the interview of their CEO last autumn, and he told that they've been basically, when they have been able to select reasonable candidates, and they selected the strategy, how to market things, they have won 9 out of the 10 elections where they were involved. 9 out of the 10. So this actually affects how people think about democracy. And it affects that whether technology is more powerful than the governments. At the same time, I was in the Web Summit last autumn where there were 50,000 technology people in Lisbon. And then there was actually a Uber strike. Uber strike in Lisbon during the technology festival. It was against the technology people, not against the government of the protocol. Because the taxi drivers thought that it doesn't really matter if they are striking against the government of the protocol. But it does matter if they are striking against technology people. So these kind of things are quite big, actually, and a little bit scary as well. So there is really, really good reason to talk about cybersecurity and to talk about the data privacy. For instance, one of my friends, there was a fake Twitter, account created for Tinder last week. It wasn't actually good fun. And my wife is a teacher, and I know the kids are actually playing around with the internet stuff and doing the teasing in the web. So these are really important things to take care when we are talking about the customer experience. So I do believe we have a good understanding about the personas. We have a good understanding about the customer journey. But let's talk a little bit what it really means for companies, why they are talking about the omnichannel that much, why they are talking about the customer experience. So the basic idea is that there is one channel only, and it is the customer. And the hard part here, it's true that there is a situation that the steering board of the companies are very often telling to the CEOs that you must digitalize your company. And what's the hard part in digitalization? It's basically data related to customer. Very often the data is in different silos and technologically. And very often the companies are having functional organizations. So it means that if you are studying marketing, you go work in marketing department. If you study engineering, you go work in production. If you study logistics, you go work in logistics department. And but when we think about the customer, and if you think about the customer journey, it's really small piece what each department is doing from the viewpoint of the customer. So there was the example of trampoline. It crosses marketing, it crosses sales, it crosses logistics, and it crosses the after sales as well. So that's why it's important that the data is collected in the way that the customer is in the center. An example, again, from DNA. The DNA has been doing a project around analytics and machine learning. But when we had the discussion that what was the most important outcome of that project, it was that they have collected the customer data to one place. What it means, when you go to a shop, DNA shop, and you have a salesperson there, and then they have a dashboard which actually estimates that what I will buy next. So if you got the new DNA account or new SIM card, and then they are activating it, very, very likely they are going to call you after a few days, and they are trying to sell you something which is the most probable one that you are going to buy next. So that's the basic idea and why this, what it means, the customer experience to our customers. But if you take it from here, it starts from marketing. There might be a campaign in the springtime. There might be a TV campaign, for instance, in Tokmanni, saying about grill season is starting. Then there is messaging. It might be that you have been there in a shop. They will send you a personalized email. Then there is social media. They might do the marketing there. There is email campaign. By the way, email campaign is still the most effective method of the digital marketing. Then there is there might be a mobile website. There is e-commerce to buy it. There is a store where you actually might go to collect one. So now they are really talking a lot about the click and collect. And if you think about the click and collect method, an example again, you then bought this trampoline. The order went to central store. And then you selected the you are going to pick it from Tokmanni in Jyväskylä. And then you're going to go there. So I think there are like at least five people are doing the job helping you to get the trampoline. And even afterwards, if there is a problem, there is a seventh person to help you with the issues with the trampoline. And so this is the reason why this omnichannel and customer centricity is so difficult. And it's all about the data. So if you made the wish into web that you maybe looked, let's go back to the books. You were playing around with this Kepner book, which has been example here. Then you go to Akateeminen bookstore, and then you are there in the cashier, and they can say, hey, you've been checking this book. Would you like to buy it? And this is the most effective sales methods in the world. And that's why we are talking a lot about the customer experience. But another way around, it can be made more simple. It's basically it's all about customers' data, it's about the store, it's about the web, and that's called then omnichannel. Examples in omnichannel are really often from the retail business, but it's actually same for almost any business. I mean, it's the same for electricity companies, it's the same for insurance companies, it is the same for construction companies. So the similar methods are applying pretty much everywhere. And it's even same for the University of Jyväskylä or universities. I mean, you have so many lecturers, you have so many teachers, and you would like to have your information in one place. That's a new way of thinking, because in the old days, the professor is the king. He comes here, makes the lecture, and everything is collected around the professors, not around you. And then all the systems here, all the tests and stuff, they are about the professors. And that's really big change if it's going to change in the way that it's about you. Because one professor has got, I don't know how many students, 500 roughly. But when we change it another way around, that one student has got maybe 20 lecturers, I'm not sure. But that's a total different way of thinking. And that's actually really, really big change in the business world. And that's really hard. Then Again, one example. What is omnichannel? We talked about customer experience. We talked about personas. And there's one video, again, which I would like you to see.
Loves perfumes and is always looking to buy more for her collection. One day, she sees an Instagram post from Lena for a new perfume. Anna falls in love with the perfume's description and wants to find out more about it. Anna starts searching online for everything about the perfume. She checks to see if it is cheaper abroad, but quickly realizes that it will cost the same to buy it at a store here in Denmark because of the shipping costs. Luckily for Anna, she finds a perfume store close to her office. She also finds a click and collect option online to pick up the perfume from the store nearby. This way, she saves on shipping costs. Anna excitedly signs up as a new customer on the website and adds the perfume to her shopping cart. Before she buys the perfume, Anna decides to try it first. The next day, Anna is on her way to work when she receives an email from the perfume store. The email has a link to a voucher and an invitation to download their loyalty app, which she does. When Anna goes out for lunch that day, she happens to pass the perfume store. At the same moment, Anna receives a reminder from the loyalty app that she has a voucher waiting to be used. Anna decides to check out the perfume and walks into the store. Anna heads straight to the counter displaying the perfume and is excited to try it. Anna loves the fragrance. The clerk's mobile POS recognizes Anna by iBeacon. The clerk asks if her name is Anna and if she needs help to redeem her voucher and complete the perfume purchase now. Anna is amazed and impressed with the personalized service, but the perfume is an expensive one, so Anna decides to think about it a little more. While Anna is deciding what to wear for tonight's party, she receives a push notification from the loyalty app. It is a reminder that her voucher is about to expire. Anna immediately decides to use the voucher and buy the perfume through the app. She chooses the click and collect option so that she can pick up the perfume before tonight's party and save on the shipping costs too. Anna wears the perfume to the party and is thrilled about her shopping experience, from the service and the intuitive technology to being able to pick up the perfume on the same day. She tells all her friends about her experience, and best of all, the perfume is divine and exactly as she expected it to be from the Instagram post.
So that was the last slide about omnichannel, about the basic idea of customer experience. And then the next topic I would like to talk a little bit is about creating new business. And then we, after that, have examples. Yes, sorry for the language bit, because I got the info that this is in English half an hour ago. Before this one. So a couple of these slides are in Finnish, but the main one where I'm going to talk is in English as well. So we talked about the customer experience, and then we talked about creating new business. But today, how companies see it is that there is two ways of thinking. If you are playing to win, or if you are playing not to lose. And it is just for fact that creating a better customer experience, it's playing not to lose. It's not really about investing on something fancy, new things. It's mandatory. You can't survive with it without it. So that's the reason why the investments to that area are so big at the moment. There is the rule of thumb that the change in the companies really starts when the 75% of the upper management are thinking that the change is vital. And in quite many companies, 75% of the upper management are actually really thinking about that customer experience is important. So that's why there is so much investment in there. But unfortunately, it's not really the game where you can win. It's more like a game just not to lose your market share, just not to lose your business. Because what really changes, what really affects the businesses are really coming from different lines of businesses. So if you want to play to win, you really need to explore something new. There is, again, one rule of thumb for a new business. It must be 10 times cheaper or 10 times better compared to one which is in the market already. Again, example. Earlier on, I told you about the service where you can purchase leftover lunches from restaurants. And there is two companies in that area. And what really happened is that there was the CEO of the company who was developing the service. He left the original company and created a new one with some new faults. But the second company actually was faster to bring the service to market than the one who actually had the idea. So and now they are having an argument. It's basically in trial, that they are having trial against the CEO who jumped to a different company. But in the end, now the second company, who started later but launched the service earlier on, is market leader. And the one who has got the original idea is just having peanuts. So when in a game where you are willing to win, you really need to be fast. But in the game where you are not willing to lose, you need to be thinking a bit differently. There's a lot of talk about culture where we must try things. But for example, about the banks, I think it's pretty nice that your bank account is correct. If you just tried, for instance, different technologies, which might make a risk that your bank account balance is wrong. It's kind of not a great idea. But on the areas where you are wanting to win something new, it's all about the speed, all about being first. And then technologically, those systems are developed differently. Very often, startups are doing the technology development in the way that the new service or new idea, it just barely hangs together when it's launched. And they are all right with the idea that if it's going to grow, they need to rewrite the whole thing. But again, in the traditional business, you can't really do it in that way. You need to be more stable. You can't really write a bank system which barely runs. It must be stable. So these things are really important to think differently. Then two things I would like to talk. There's a lot of talk about hackathons, and I believe that quite a many students are there, and I think it's just a great idea to meet companies. It's a great idea for job hunting, I believe. But this is the last bit from this set. And again, a change about the digital things, change about customer experience. Traditionally, companies are buying things like tractors or houses or even grocery stuff. 100 kilograms of potatoes. And when you are delivering 100 kilograms of potatoes, they are either delivered or they are not delivered. But when we are developing new business, new digital things, you can't really think about the project. Because traditionally, there is a need which is thought about the directors of the company that we must do like something like that. Then they get the budget for it, and then there's a project, and then it's completed. But the time gap there, it might be quite long, and it's really, really possible that that environment has changed that much that the original idea is not that great any longer. But the traditional way of thinking actually makes it in the way that companies are purchasing products, they're purchasing like things. But again, if you want to create something new, it has to be thought differently. It has to be thought in the way that basically you are buying a team, which is a combination of those different skills, business, design, technology. And then that team is quite autonomous. So they can try, they can test the ideas with the end customers, and they can change the directions almost in the way they like. But the only thing is that they must produce results. So it doesn't mean that the companies are investing endlessly. It means that the control of that investment has to be different. And it has to be controlled in a way that it really looks at whether it's making a proper results or not. I think I need to change the battery there. Then the final bit, examples. Again, this material is available online in our website. There's a link there. And what we think, it goes back to those personas. We studied that what are the chief digital officers, what they would like to have, what they would like to read. And we found out that they would like to read true stories that what really have been created, proper results from digitalization. Because they thought that there is a lot of talk, a lot of hype, but the results are quite a few. So there are a couple of examples what we collected from all around the world. This example comes from the insurance business, and traditionally in the insurance business, the insurance claims are handled by human beings. They're going to check the issues there, they're going to have inspections, and there is a manual process. And these companies actually almost remove this manual process totally. So they are using artificial intelligence to do the insurance claims checking. And what is more there, they are using the meaningful or meaning of meaningful services to end users. Because how they do it, they say that the company makes profit of, I think it was 16%. And everything above 16%, they give back to the people who are taking the insurance. And then the end customers can actually put to the good things they can contribute, like AIDS patients or starvation in Africa. So they can basically do the donation for the rest of the money. So that's the one example how to do the insurance business differently. Then if you talk a little bit about the next big thing, they say that the one user interface actually lives roughly 10 years. Now the iPhones, iPads are a bit more than 10 years old. And the next big thing is going to be speech. So they're using speech to control devices. There might be that there is no user interface at all in the future. We are just talking to our devices. So Amazon Alexa, I believe pretty many of you know about that. These kind of things are going to be the next big thing in the future. Of course, a little bit later in Finland because of our language, but in English, they're actually working pretty well already. Then again, insurance. Normally, car insurance is paid annually or monthly, but this insurance is paid per mile. So that's quite a different way of selling and purchasing car insurance. Then again, chatbots, which are discussed pretty much again, different way of doing user interfaces. But in the future, I mean, in the internet, there are basically forms, internet full of forms or filling information. But in the future, I believe one of the most used interfaces is going to be chatbots, where users write things, are there, they are going to reply to it. For instance, our company is doing one project where we are analyzing customers' questions to a car manufacturer. And then in the future, there will be, in the cars, it will be automatic that the car will reply to you automatically if you have a question. So basically, you ask your car. And there has been analysis that what kind of things are being asked in the customer experience. And then that information is put back to the car. So that kind of things are coming up. Sorry, I can't tell you the company because it's a secret, but anyway. Okay. Then again, there is finding customers and money for your idea, Indiegogo. That's quite interesting story again. So not only for finding funding, but as well finding customers to your idea. And I think I'm gonna show you. This one. It goes to Finnair, which has been actually quite advanced in digital world. And one of the most selling things they have is in their application, you can, with a bit of more money, you can buy a raise for your traveling class. So if you are traveling economy, you can go to business class paying like 50 euros. And then you get the offers to your cell phone. That's something what we have been creating for them. But this is selling really well. Again, example of the customer experience, example of meeting the right spot at the right time. So basically purchasing quite late in your travel, increase on your travel clause. And then the final bit, actually the last example, there are quite a many. This is a good one, and really really important, because bullying in school and bullying in digital, it's really important thing to take care. And there is a service which is created basically with the stuff learned from the Finnish schools, that how to give positive feedback. And giving positive feedback in the right way is one of the keys for working with people with different backgrounds. Actually, one more, because this is something that's kind of a little bit surprising. My computer decided no more examples because there was no electricity. But the final example actually should be a bank, Handel's Bank, because many of the banks have gone in the way that they are reducing the local offices. And the Handel's Bank has gone in totally different way. They've been doing really well. They have actually opened local offices in many, many places. And I'm not sure if you're aware of what you can actually handle your things in a bank if a person recognizes you, just in the phone. And the Handel's Bank is basically do it in the way that if my colleague is calling there, they're saying, hey, it's nice to hear you, Ville. And they recognize you just because the customer service is having quite not that many people who are there serving. So if he wants to take care of, paying faster the loan or stuff like that, so he can just do it in the phone. So the service is really, really personal. And it's not centralized, it's decentralized, so they have really a lot of autonomy in their local offices. Quite a lot of topics. Now there would be a really good time for anything you would like to ask. Yes? Yes? Well, it's actually a good question because one of the key things on developing customer experience is that it has to be done right. It's really difficult to know whether the messaging is too much or too little, because if it's too much, it gets quite annoying quite fast. But that example, it's not really a real example. It is basically advertisement video, which is not from the real case. It's just trying to identify how it could be done and how it can be done. So it's not a real example. But you are right, it's too small item. Anything else? Yes? Yes? Yes.
So if Goodreads software is already there, you have the other vendor to change to that.
Well, yeah, that's what they are thinking about. So the Goodreads is what are the thing is that they have actually quite a good brand, Akateeminen, and they have local stores. So their advantage is that they actually exist locally. So it's kind of hard to compete against the internet-only vendors. So they are trying to identify that how they would be doing better business combining the physical and digital world. And it's about easiness. I mean, there was two ways of creating this customer journey. Like trying to understand what the customer wants And then another way is to create one new touch point with the customer. So that's basically the later one, trying to create new touch point with the customer. No problem. Yes? Yes, because very often it's actually this week. I don't want to tell the customer, but they called me that they would like to create an app for their end users. And the first question what we always do that really, you really want to make another app? Because if there is an app, there must be a reason why you are using it. And the creating that reason is very often the most difficult bit. So yes, you are correct. And but in a Finnair, it's actually that's quite easy thing because the statistics for the app users is that I think it's roughly like 90% of the users are returning to use it. So they're doing quite all right in that area. But yes, there is a competition. Anything else? All right. Thank you very much.